The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the NBA's biggest disappointment. What happened to the Lakers? And where do they go from here? We're looking for answers. Plus, if you think Tom Brady isn't motivated, think again. He's calling his 23rd season his greatest challenge yet. And the fact that Tiger Woods is even walking Augusta National seems incredible. Could he actually win the Masters? We're going to talk about that, and because moments ago, Tiger Woods out there on the course at Augusta for a practice round said yesterday he was, in fact, planning to play the Masters this week. Incredible comeback, assuming he still does. We will continue to follow that, obviously, throughout the day. But there's Tiger out on the course already this morning. Weather looks nicer there, at least, than it is here in New York. I'm Dan Graziano in for Mike Greenberg, here with Kimberly Martin, and joined by this cast of characters, we've got Booger McFarland, Dan Orlovsky here to talk football, we've got Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe here to talk hoops, and that is where we begin with our game of the night. No LeBron James for the Lakers as they take on the Suns, and that was bad news for the Lakers. Halfway through the first, Suns down by three. Chris Paul lobs it up to DeAndre Ayton. This would be a theme. Suns up, the Suns down one now. Now in the second quarter, they're up by two. Chris Paul, he's lobbing it to DeAndre Ayton. I was ahead of myself. Suns up five at halftime. Let's do the second half better than we did the first. Early in the third, Suns up six. Booker contested three. Suns up nine. Devin Booker had 32 points in this game. Later in the third, Suns up 12, pulling away. Booker's going to lob it to DeAndre Ayton, who throws it down. Perfect pass by Booker to set up Ayton. Suns doing pretty much anything they wanted against the Lakers. Ayton had 22 points. Under 4 minutes left in the quarter. Suns up by 22. Booker throws it ahead to Paul. Lobs it to Mikal Bridges for the slam. Suns win by 11. Their franchise record 63rd win. Lakers sad.
Extremely disappointed. Disappointed for our fan base, disappointed for the Buss family, you know, who gave us all this opportunity. And, you know, we want to play our part in bringing success to Laker basketball. And, we fell short.
It's obviously disappointing on many levels, but ain't much you can do about it at this point.
I truly think that we could have done something special. You know, Brian and myself, you know, mainly me, were healthy for the entire season.
So with the Lakers eliminated, the Pelicans and the Spurs are now locked into the play-in along with the Clippers. The Nuggets can avoid the play-in with a Timberwolves loss or by winning one of their two remaining home games. So Denver looking good to try and avoid that play-in. They're all making their playoff plans, and the Lakers are making plans for the offseason. So Brian Windhorst, given the expectations that they carried into this year, can you put into context how disappointing this Lakers season was?
Well, there is a huge disappointment for the Lakers, for sure. It's catastrophic for them. I mean, from ownership to general manager to the players, you heard just Anthony Davis say it, they felt this was a championship team. For a lot of the rest of the league, I'm not so sure they ever believed that. And I know the concept is that had everybody been healthy, that this would have been a different story. I just don't believe that that's true. When Westbrook, AD, and LeBron all played together, it was 21 games, they were 11-10. When Anthony Davis played in games this year, the Lakers were six games under 500. Right now, this is a team that is 17 games under 500. We talk about how the Nets are a disappointment. The Nets are three games over 500. So this is a team that is deeply flawed and poorly assembled. And blaming this defeat on injuries and bad luck, I don't think is accurate. I think the reality is this isn't a very good team. This isn't about bad luck.
Zach, how do you sum up this Lakers season?
I think even if your expectations were low, as Wendy points out, to be sniffing 20 games under 500, this qualifies as maybe the single most disappointing single season team in NBA history. And like Wendy said, I don't want to hear all that much about the injuries and this and that. Look at the teams ahead of them. The Pelicans, Zion has missed the entire season. Brandon Ingram has missed 24 games. They're in the play-in tournament. They started 3-16. They fought back. They're in the play-in tournament. The Spurs, who blew out the Nuggets in Denver, they did it without DeJounte Murray. They traded their second-best player at the trade deadline in Derek White, a signal that was, hey, we don't even really care if we win that many games this season. The Lakers couldn't even catch those teams in the standings. And like Wendy said, it's not just health. It's not just injuries. It's that they thought they were going to get something out of Kent Bazemore, Trevor Ariza, Kendrick Nunn. Those turned into zeros. The Westbrook trade was a disaster. But even if you thought this is a play-in team or a 500 team or a 45-win team, for them to be this, 20 games under 500 almost, is one of the most disappointing seasons probably in the history of sports.
And amazing how it kept getting worse. I mean, you go back a couple of weeks, and the play-in looked like their worst-case scenario. Now they've lost seven in a row. The Spurs won 6 out of 7, overtook them, and they are, in fact, out. So, again, looking ahead to the offseason, Brian, any indication of what kind of changes that they plan to make, what LeBron has in mind? We know he has an influence there as well in terms of what they do in the offseason.
Yeah, so one of the reasons why the Westbrook trade is such a huge setback isn't because the transaction didn't lead to a winning team. It's because it left them no maneuverability for the short-term future. They don't have any draft picks. They don't have any money to spend in cap space. Westbrook has next to no, if not negative value in the league for trades. And if they wanted to move him, they would probably have to attach one of the two first-round picks that they have in the next 7 years to do. They just can't get out of it. It's the combination of those two factors. So put this on your calendar. August 4th, put two circles around it. That is the day in which LeBron James is eligible to extend his contract. The Lakers will probably have a new coach by then. They will have somewhat of an adjusted roster. The question is, will LeBron extend his contract at that time? He can add 2 years and $97 million or not. And if it's the latter, that's where things could get interesting.
Yeah, that definitely sounds interesting. Zach, are we looking at a situation where LeBron might not be on next year's Lakers?
I would be shocked if LeBron were not on next year's Lakers, but I'm also shocked by how bad this team was this season. Like Brian said, they're going to try everything. They've got two first-round picks they can trade once the calendar flips over. They hope that somebody somewhere didn't pay attention to Talen Horton Tucker's season and might still value him as a high upside young player. And I do think there is upside in THT. But the Russ contract is just an anchor. I don't know what their way out of it is except to flip him for John Wall, which I would expect them to. I would expect those teams to talk again at some point, but it's going to be a struggle for them.
All right, much more from Wendy and Zach later in the show. But we're going to switch to football now. This coming season will be Tom Brady's 23rd year in the NFL. He will turn 45 in August, yet he led the league in passing last season. So obviously age not showing. Brady back for a 23rd season, holding himself to an even higher standard in 2022. Take a look at what he told People magazine. Said, I want to go out there and have my best year yet. They know that once I said yes, meaning coming back from retirement, there's no turning back, and I've got to commit every bit of mental toughness I have to be in this with them until the end of the season. I'm excited for it. It'll be my greatest challenge yet. So that's a lot of words from Tom Brady, who has a, you know, he says the right thing. He sometimes talks in cliches, but when you talk about, you know, best season yet for Tom Brady, I mean, what does that look like? Is that something that's possible?
Yeah, because it's Tom Brady. I mean, when you think of what he's able to do over the 400 years that he's been playing, you have to put him in the early MVP category just because he is Tom Brady, because we've seen him do it. Now, the Bucs roster looks different. You know, it's got guys are aging at different positions. They still have to add some pieces, defensive tackle, guard. But if you look at this team and think this is a team that can win a Super Bowl. Do I think they're the favorite to win in the NFC? No, I think that honor goes to the Rams. But if you think the Bucs can win a Super Bowl, Brady is the piece to get you there. And he threw for 1,200 more yards than the MVP winner last year. So if this is a team that can get you a Super Bowl, he can easily get you an MVP.
Orlovsky, what do you think about Brady and the MVP race in 2022?
I think it's unlikely. I think if Tom wins MVP next year, it's probably one of his greatest achievements ever. I don't even think he's going to have his best season as a Buck. You know, Kimberly just hit on it a little bit. This is a very different offense than we expected Tom to play in really through the majority of the season last year. They're lesser on the offensive line. Chris Godwin is not going to be healthy fully till November, December. And they don't have Rob Gronkowski under contract right now. And Gronk's the big part of that. So individually, no. I don't see that Tom Brady can go out there and have his best season yet. But I think Tom is kind of referencing what Tom's about, the team goal. Do I think that this team is a Super Bowl contender? Yes. Do I think that they are a decent size behind the Los Angeles Rams? Absolutely. And I don't believe that they close that gap in relation to the Rams unless Rob Gronkowski comes back to be a part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. Obviously, Booger, want to get your thoughts on that. But first, take a look at what Gronk had to say about this. He said, I knew if I started catching some passes, my head would have started turning like, oh, crap, I got to get back out on the field. And right now, I'm not ready to get back out on that field. I'm not ready to commit to the game of football right now. So, Booger, I think most of us thought when Brady came back that Gronk would just follow, but it sounds like he's not so sure. How big a deal is that for the Bucs?
Well, I think Gronk eventually comes back, but I don't think that's that big of a deal. I mean, Gronk is still carrying around two boulders on his back. He's not running the way he used to, and I get it. He's a really, really good blocker, and he can make some key catches. But I think the Bucs are going to look to upgrade at that position. To me, Dan and Kim made some good points, but here's what I'll say. What kind of style are the Bucs going to play with? Let's not forget, Bruce Arians is gone. Todd Bowles is the head coach. What type of offense are they going to run? I get it. Byron Leftwich is still the OC, but they're going to take direction from the head coach. Remember, Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit. What type of style and what type of play and game plan are going to be implemented now that Bruce Arians is gone and Todd Bowles is the head coach? Brady's going to be really good. I agree with Dan. He is not going to have an MVP-type season, but they could be a better football team. To Dan's point about some of the pieces that they've lost, I think they're going to run the football more. I think they're going to be a tougher football team under Todd Bowles, and that's no disrespect to Bruce Arians, but I just think they're going to play the game a little bit more physical and take some pressure off of Tom Brady. That way he doesn't have to throw for 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 12 picks.
All right, looks like Orlovsky had a rebuttal, but we got to wait on that. We got to get to the break. We're going to talk about this later in the show, though, Dan. I promise you'll get your chance. Coming up, the receiving core in this year's NFL draft is outstanding. But who is the pass catcher Dan Orlovsky would most want to throw to? He'll answer when we come back. And the fact that Tiger Woods is even playing in the Masters this year is incredible. We'll talk about whether we think he can actually win a sixth green jacket.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. The NFL draft begins 3 weeks from tomorrow, which means Mel Kiper Jr. is not chilling. He is grinding. And today we are looking at wide receivers. These are Mel's top five wide receivers in this year's draft, led by Ohio State's Garrett Wilson. His college teammate Chris Olave is third on Mel's list behind Drake London from USC. And then rounding out the top five, you have Alabama's Jameson Williams and Penn State's Jahan Dotson. And the great Mel Kiper Jr., kind enough to take some time out of his draft prep to join us this morning to talk some wide receivers. Mel, take us through your top three and tell us why you landed there.
Yeah, it's a strong group. It really is. And it's been a wild year and a wild ride because it's kind of changed because of injuries and who was the cleanest through the process. And that was Ohio State's Garrett Wilson. The way he ran at the combine, the way he performed at Ohio State, the most explosive wide receiver in this draft is Garrett Wilson. He also has the punt return experience. He's number 7 on the big board overall. Drake London, the edge is out. Drake London's at number 8. Why does Garrett Wilson edge out Drake London? Drake London had a fractured ankle October 30th against Arizona. He had 88 catches in the 8 games he played. He's that power forward. The contested catches will go his way. The smaller cornerbacks will have a tough time dealing with Drake London. He's at number 8 on the big board. It was tough to decide between the two, but I went with Wilson because, as I said, clean through the process. London a close second at number 8 overall on the big board. And Chris Olave, I did not want to have a lot of separation between Wilson at 7 and Olave. So I have Olave at 14. He has more career catches than Garrett Wilson. He averaged right about the same as Wilson. He had more touchdowns this year. A professional in every sense of the word, ready to play immediately as a rookie. Got to like everything about Chris Olave if he goes in that 11 to 15 area, Dan.
Yeah, and again, sort of just the tip of the iceberg there with those three. Could be a lot more than that going in the first round. People love the wide receivers in this year's draft class. Dan Orlovsky, I know you're one of those people. Looking at it through a quarterback's eyes, which one of these guys would you most love to throw the ball to?
Oh, Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson's going to be like the next Devontae Adams. Now, I'll say this, Dan. Like, I think both Ohio State kids, both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, are going to step right in and have Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase type of impacts. I think they're phenomenal players. But Garrett Wilson, you know, the suddenness at the line of scrimmage, the violence at the line of scrimmage, the body control that he has, the gliding through the air. You see some of these catches that we're playing on these highlights. It's everything with his hands. Like, watch how far his hands are away from his body when he's making some of these contested catches. Usually with those contested catches, receivers, you see him go up and try to body the ball. He's going out extended away from his body. I think that's my favorite part of his game. I think Olave is a fast version of Keenan Allen. I think he's the best separator in this class at the top of routes. Suddenness, the way he drops his hips. But his speed is just spectacular. And I think he's got such nuance. Both of these kids were coached by the best wide receiver coach in college football and Brian Hartline at Ohio State. So they both know route running really well. I think this class is absolutely spectacular. I mean, I'd say this, man. Seeing some of the quarter or the receiver contracts going on in the NFL, you better draft these kids now, because to pay a veteran receiver that's really good costs you a lot. There's 9 guys in the NFL right now at wide receiver making over $20 million a year. So you better draft these young kids this year.
Future stars entering the league alongside those now highly paid current stars. Mel has 6 receivers going in the first round of his latest mock draft. That would trail the 2004 class for the most first-round wideouts in a single draft in the common draft era. The first wideout off the board that year is Larry Fitzgerald, number 3 to the Cardinals. Every April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. In Brown versus the Board of Education, 7 years after Robinson's debut, the Supreme Court struck down racial segregation in public schools. Today, a civil rights icon shares her thoughts on the trail Robinson blazed and the road she's traveled. It's part of Black History Always.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think about my own journey and how lonely it was, being the first 6-year-old to integrate a public school system in Louisiana. But for him, it was even harder, I believe, because on top of what he had to endure, he had to be good. He had to perform. I see Jackie Robinson as one of the fathers of the civil rights movement that paved the way for me to continue the journey.
The mothers of downtown New Orleans screaming at a Negro child as she entered the William Franz Elementary School, first in the city to be integrated.
You know, living here in New Orleans, I remember seeing the mob outside and actually thinking that it was Mardi Gras. I mean, that I'd stumbled into a Mardi Gras parade, not knowing that it was a mob to keep me out. I was never told it was a white school. I mean, when I walked in, everybody walked out. And then when we got inside of the building on the second day, it was dead quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And I remember the door opened and this woman was standing there and she said, "Hi, my name is Mrs. Henry, I'm your teacher." She looked exactly like the crowd outside, but she showed me her heart. And her heart told me that she was different. What I didn't realize is that Mrs. Henry was going to the principal and advocating for me. She kept saying, "The law has changed and kids can be together now, but you're hiding them." And I remember being so excited when we went into this room and opened the door, and there they were. And I remember thinking, I knew I heard kids and that I had finally found them. And this little boy said, "I can't play with you." My mom said not to play with you because you're a nigger. And the minute he said it, it really felt like this weight lifted off my shoulders. So this little boy made it all make sense. It was about me and the color of my skin. How do we make change in the world to make the world a better place? And I go back to my own history. It has to start with our kids.
Ruby Bridges says her true calling is working with children. That led her to start a foundation to help end racism by promoting education and equality, tolerance, and respect. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. When we come back on Get Up, it was a big night in Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving had his best home game and the Nets took a big step forward. We'll tell you why. Back on Get Up, let's run the floor on some of the big NBA games from last night. Start off with Joel Embiid, who went off for 45 points to go along with 13 rebounds in the 76ers' 131-122 win over the Pacers. It was Embiid's second straight game scoring over 40. James Harden contributed 11 points and 14 assists. In Chicago, the Bulls hosted the Bucks. DeMar DeRozan scored 40, but it was not enough to get the Bulls by Milwaukee. Brooke Lopez had a season-high 28 points, while Giannis Antetokounmpo was good for 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists in the Bucks' 127-106 victory. And there was one more 40-point game last night. Kyrie Irving dropped 42 on the Rockets as Brooklyn snapped a 2-game losing streak with a 118-105 win over Houston. Kevin Durant had 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists in that Nets win. And you see here, the win moves Brooklyn up to the 8th seed, which would give them two opportunities to advance in the play-in. Despite not having a playoff spot clinched, the Nets still have the second shortest odds to win the entire Eastern Conference, according to Caesars Sportsbook. I want to bring Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe back in. And Wendy, I just want to ask you, the Nets, we don't even know if they're going to make it past the play-in. We have them now listed as the second favorite in the East. What does Vegas know that we don't?
They must know their liabilities, because I can't explain it any other way. But I will say this. It's looking better for the Nets. They just had their best day in weeks. They woke up yesterday in 10th place. The other three teams around them in the play-in all lost. And now they have a golden opportunity to get the 7th seed if they win their next two games. Tonight against the Knicks on ESPN, and Friday at home against the Cavs. They will tie the Cavs and clinch the tiebreak. They could be in 7th place by the end of the week. And considering that they were looking at having to go on the road and win two games just 24 hours ago, that's terrific news, in addition to the fact that Kyrie Irving has broken out of a little slump he was in with that performance.
Zach, do you think this is a team that could be a factor if they do get past the play-in?
Absolutely. And to Wendy's point, to me, the biggest storyline in the last week of the season is where the Nets finish, because it's not just about where they are in the play-in tournament and whether they can play at home or have two shots. Miami's first in the East. Then there's a three-way tie, 2, 3, and 4. If the Nets can be 7th or 8th, which is their position right now, there's some uncertainty about their seed and there's some uncertainty about who they play. If they can just be 8th, Miami is staring down the barrel at the Nets in the first round. So if I'm the Heat, I'm like, come on, Nets, get into that 7th spot, and then you have a mystery of who they're going to play in the first round. But I don't think the Vegas odds are really that ridiculous, given the Heat have been a little up and down, although I think they've won 6 in a row. They're looking strong. Time Lord is hurt for Boston. Sixers have been up and down. I mean, I'm not sure I'd pick the Nets in any of those series, but as long as they got those two dudes with off days between every game, they got a shot.
And what about, Brian, a third dude? They acquired Ben Simmons in exchange for James Harden. He hasn't played for them yet. Is there a chance he could join this team in the postseason?
Dan, he hasn't played for anybody in a year. So they have ruled him out for the rest of the regular season and the play-in. They have not ruled him out for the playoffs. Internally, they believe if they could get him ready, they're not ruling out that he could potentially get on the court. However, having said that, because he hasn't played in a year, they are not going to skip any steps. He will have to go through contact practices and recover, ramp up workouts and recover. And right now he hasn't started that process. So I'm not ruling it out, but I'd still say it's highly unlikely.
Zach, it feels weird to ask because they've never had him, but can the Nets make any kind of run without Ben Simmons, or do they need him for it?
I would characterize the non-Simmons Nets like this. I think they can win any one playoff series in the East, with the exception of maybe Milwaukee. And even that, if you get scorching hot, you got a shot. I don't think they can win 3 and make the finals. I think the top of the East is just too good. So can they make a run? It depends how you define run. Can they make the second round? Yes. Can they make the conference finals? Maybe. Can they go further than that without Ben Simmons, with Seth Curry injured? I don't see it.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Good stuff this morning from Wendy and Zach. Thanks for joining us. We have a special NBA Wednesday doubleheader for you tonight in celebration of the NBA's 75th anniversary season. We're going to have a traditional Nets-Knicks broadcast at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. And ESPN2 will have a version that showcases the NBA television graphic styles of the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s up to the present day, including the classic theme music by era, with special guests joining the broadcast. A lot of nostalgia for you tonight. After that one, the Suns and the Clippers square off. NBA Countdown tips off our coverage tonight at 7 Eastern. Get Up is brought to you by Wendy's, a proud sponsor of the 2022 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Kentucky forward Oscar Tshiebwe continues to rack up postseason honors. Yesterday, he was named the Wooden Award winner. That made him the first ever unanimous National Player of the Year for from Kentucky, which is saying something. Kentucky has historically had a pretty good program. Let's go back to the NFL now, where Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson have signed record-setting new contracts this offseason. That leads us to ask, who is next? Let's look at Joe Burrow. He just led the Bengals to the Super Bowl in his second season. He'll be eligible for an extension next offseason. He's signed through 2023, fifth-year option for him in 2024. Out west, Kyler Murray is signed through this year. He's expressed a desire to get a long-term deal with the Cardinals, who have until May 2nd to pick up his fifth-year option for 2023. And in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson will be playing this season on his fifth-year option. Jackson, obviously a candidate for the franchise tag a year from now, should he and the Ravens not reach a contract extension, which so far they have not. And Kimberly, it doesn't sound like Lamar is in any kind of hurry. What are you hearing?
No, Lamar is not in any hurry, much to our surprise, being that we thought this would all get done last year. But here's the thing. The Ravens want to lock him up, but these conversations are in Lamar's hands. When these talks take place, that will be on Lamar. But one thing I do know is the Ravens are not an organization, unlike some, that could try to put some language in there, try to take advantage of the fact that he does not have a traditional agent. He's rep by his mom. He obviously, his mom will have a lawyer or somebody look over a contract whenever it's on the table. But Lamar is betting on himself, and he's bucking the status quo, which I love. I love people who bet on themselves. But here's the downside is that a lot of people will say, well, what if he gets hurt? He's a guy who gets hit an awful lot. But the counter to that is, what if he doesn't get hurt? What if this team is healthy? What if he's healthy and they win a Super Bowl? The Ravens know they will have to pay up at some point. The question is just when.
Ravens went through this years ago with Joe Flacco, right? And then he did win the Super Bowl in the last year of his contract, and they had to pay him. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think about the way Lamar is approaching this?
I think it's smart. I think when you are one of the best in the job in the world at your job, patience always pays off, because eventually someone is going to pay you what you believe you are deserving and earned of. Lamar Jackson last year, the Ravens, with 6 weeks to go in the season, were the number one seed in the playoffs. He was the MVP of the NFL, and they had one of the most decimated rosters in the history of the NFL when it came to injuries. So you're sitting there, and when you have to come to this decision of paying a quarterback organizationally, you guys have heard me say this, is he good enough to overcome some of the roster deficiencies that we will face when we pay him all this money? Last year proved that Lamar Jackson is. And I think the Ravens can take comfort in that, and also the fact that they draft really well historically. So I think he's the type of player that once you decide to pay Lamar Jackson, it's whatever you want, because you've already proven that you can carry a depleted roster.
Booger, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Dan a little bit. I think patience is a key for both sides. I think if you're looking at it from the organization side, they're simply saying this. We are ready to pay you whenever you're ready, Lamar. However, if you want to wait, we're okay waiting, because we still want to see a little bit more. He was the MVP toward the end of the season last year before everything went haywire in Baltimore. However, we still need to see Lamar continue to progress. And he gets hit a lot, Kmart, so we're not necessarily in a hurry to throw him $50 million a year. So the Ravens organization is willing to be patient. From Lamar's side, he'll say this, hey, if I can stay healthy throughout this season and we can win and play to the level that I think we can play at, I'll be deserving of the highest paid quarterback position in football and that $50 million a year. So I think the word Dan used is patience. I think both sides are willing to be patient for different reasons.
Meantime, Lamar Jackson will make about $23 million this year on that fifth-year option tag, so that'll carry him at least, we think, for a little while. We come back, we're going to talk about Tiger Woods, and here he is out on the course at Augusta this morning. He is obviously, as we know, overcoming significant physical ailments to try and participate in and ideally from his standpoint win this year's Masters. There's another obstacle to overcome, though, the weather at Augusta National not looking great this week. We will talk about how that affects him when we go live to the Masters next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Masters is this week, and the big story there is Tiger Woods attempting to play at Augusta just 14 months after nearly losing his right leg in a serious car accident. You see footage of Tiger on the course this morning at Augusta. Here's Tiger yesterday on whether he plans to give it a go this week.
Well, as of right now, I feel like I am going to play. As of right now. My recovery has been good. I've been very excited about how I've recovered each and every day, and that's been the challenge. My team has been fantastic and worked very hard. So we've got another day of 9 more holes, and then come game time.
You've said countless times throughout your career that you don't enter a golf tournament unless you think that you can win it. Mm-hmm. So the question is simple. Do you think you can win the Masters this week?
I do.
Welcome in Andy North now. And Andy, the weather there in Augusta looks like it's about like it is here in New York today, which is to say not good. How do you think the weather will impact Tiger?
Well, I think it's going to have a big impact. I mean, we're going to be playing a very soft golf course over the next day and a half or so. And then once the rains go through here, it's going to get cold and windy. Tiger doesn't mind the wind, but he doesn't love the cold. Supposedly Friday and Saturday mornings, it could be 40 degrees. So he doesn't love that. But I think he likes his tee times. He plays early Thursday and late Friday afternoon. It gives him a lot of time to recover after that first round. So I think that is a very positive factor.
I don't know how much you've been able to watch him moving around the course, but I mean, I guess, how does he look for those of us that aren't there? We can see some of the footage of him moving around the course, but what are you seeing from Tiger that gives you some idea what to expect the next couple days?
Yeah, I think it's been absolutely amazing, the fact that he's actually here with a chance to play in a major golf tournament. I mean, his golf swing looks good. He's hitting a lot of quality shots. Everybody that's played with him had talked about how well he's playing, and boy, you know, he's got a chance. You know, obviously walking around this golf course is not easy. The slopes and the hills are dramatic. You have to walk on a lot of side hills there. Picture of him now at the 13th, the par 5, that fairway slopes about like the second turn at Daytona. It's about 20 degrees as you go around that corner. So, you know, that's difficult. I think the biggest problem he could have this week is trying to play a shot off of a very awkward lie, maybe one of those deals where you're half in, half out of a bunker, and you put yourself in a position you really can't make a very good swing at it. You know, it's going to see how he handles those type of situations. Will he be real aggressive, or maybe back off a little bit and just be careful?
So early on, when he tees off tomorrow morning, what are you looking to see that would encourage you about his chances?
Well, first of all, it'll be sheer bedlam when he tees off tomorrow morning. I mean, it's amazing. Monday afternoon, I've never seen as many people here at any time during a tournament. I mean, they were 15, 20 people deep watching him play. It was absolutely crazy. The vibe and the energy was like a Sunday afternoon coming down the last few holes trying to win. I think the key for him is just get off to a nice start, just a comfortable start. Put the ball in the fairway the first couple holes. Maybe you could birdie the par 5 second hole and get under par, you know, just to give him a nice positive feeling to get back. You know, we've talked so much about his recovery physically over the last 14 months. He hasn't played a golf tournament since the Masters in 2020, other than with his son and the father's son. So there should be some rust. We'd expect that. So any kind of a positive start, I think, would be great for Thursday.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye. Tiger scheduled to tee off at 10:30, 4 a.m. Eastern tomorrow at the Masters. Thanks so much, Andy North, for joining us. I want to bring back in a couple of our NFL guys who I think we can safely say wish they were there to watch Tiger tomorrow. Dan Orlovsky, Booger McFarland, you guys seem like you get like little kids when we talk about Tiger playing golf again. How excited, Booger, are you to watch this?
Listen, Graziano, there are a lot of things that I love to do in this world, but nothing tops the list outside of watching Tiger Woods on a Sunday. And this week, particularly since we haven't seen him in a while, just seeing him on Thursday at 10:34. If I'm not in front of a TV, I'll have the ESPN app fired up. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited am I? It's a 12. Nothing else is going to come in the way of me watching Tiger Woods this week.
Orlovsky, can you top 12?
Yeah. I'm wearing the shirt for a reason. It's the return of the roar. Like, this is – Tiger's my favorite athlete of all time. I actually – so, listen, between work and my family, golf is my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite sport to watch. It's my favorite sport to play. I don't get a ton of opportunity to play as much as I want to. I had a tee time set up for yesterday. I canceled that tee time for tomorrow. I canceled that tee time once I found out that Tiger was actually going to pop off at 10:34. So I'm going to be better than Booger. I'm going to be sitting in front of the television watching ESPN Plus, and I will watch every single swing that Tiger makes tomorrow, because I just think it's probably one of the greatest accomplishments he's accomplished to get back and being healthy. I put a couple shekels down on him to make the cut, no question about it. It will be one of the best days of the year for me.
Orlovsky throwing around the shekels and canceling tee times. Kimberly, did you cancel your tee time for tomorrow or what?
No, I'm not big on tee time. I definitely would like to get into golf. Now, at least Dan was kind enough to mention his family, kids. Booger, I don't understand how Tiger
Booger
now trumps
like, this is
everything
my best thing in
your
the world.
Life. Like, I don't understand that. I think that's a little extreme.
Listen,
a little extreme.
My family knows, Kmart. Listen, hey, for the rest of the year, 361 days, they can have me. But these 4 days, known as the Masters, I am locked in.
No
Nothing
doubt.
Else comes first during Masters week.
Okay. Orlovsky, you said you'd put shekels on him making the cut. Do you think he can win?
Absolutely.
Oh, he's wearing the shirt, of course. Yes. Are you kidding?
Do I think he can win? Of course I do. I don't think this guy, has to do is hang around a little bit. And the reality is this, Grass, I'm a golf nut, right? Some of these young superstars that play, when they're on, like when John Rahm is on or Thomas is on or Scheffler is on, those guys are really difficult to beat. The reality is they're just not on as consistently as, you know, the greats like Tiger Woods are. So all he has to do is show up and hang for a little bit. Those guys will start to feel the pressure. He knows where to hit it, where not to hit it. He's going to putt incredibly well because that's probably what he's been doing a ton since his recovery's been going on. Absolutely, I think he could win.
All
I put
right.
some money
be,
on that as well.
Should be shekels. Fun to watch Dan and his shekels. Today, though, it's the Masters Par 3 contest from Augusta. It's at noon today on ESPN Plus, and it's at on ESPN at 3 Eastern and also on the app at 3. You can watch it. You can watch it all day. It's on all day. You can watch it work wherever you may be. Par 3 contest, always fun there at Augusta. Getting back now to the NFL draft, a little more than 3 weeks away. A couple days ago, the Eagles and the Saints traded a bunch of draft picks. Basically, what you need to know is the Saints have 2 first-rounders this year. The Eagles now have 2 first-rounders this year and 2 next year. They originally had 3 in the first round this year. So a lot of picks being changing hands in the middle of the round. Anyway, yesterday on Get Up, Bart Scott talked about this deal, what it means for incumbent Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, they're just not that into you.
Oh.
And it's like one of those things, if I'm him, I will be renting. I will not be buying a home, because this is a move that's saying, hey, if you can't win this year after going to the playoffs, we have a team that has talent around. We don't believe or we're not sold that you are our future quarterback.
Is he right?
No. For once, I'm going to disagree with my man, Bart Scott. So here's the thing. Not every boss is going to be sold on you right away, right? But you have the opportunity to show them that you can exceed their expectations every time you step on the field. This is Jalen Hurts' opportunity to quiet the noise, to quiet the doubters, to close the door on any sort of questions that still linger within that organization about whether he can be the guy. I think if they obviously, the Eagles feel comfortable going into this year with Jalen as their starter, and this is his chance to take and run with it.
Orlovsky, how do you see this?
Yeah, I think if they weren't sold on Jalen Hurts, they had 3 first-round picks they could have shipped out to Seattle to go get Russell Wilson. You know, so maybe not sold on him to be the guy for the next 4 or 5 years, but they're certainly sold on him to be the guy this year. Go back to last year. It was Jalen Hurts, you get this year to prove to us that you'll be our starting quarterback in 2022. He does that. I think that Jalen Hurts is going to lead the Eagles to the division championship. As of right now, we'll see what happens in the draft. They're my favorite to win that division. I think a big part is going to be the development of Jalen Hurts and the addition of one more wide receiver. They get DeVonta Smith from last year. Dallas Goedert's a top tight end. Watkins is a good vertical threat for them. But I think Jalen Hurts has done everything to take the step. So they may not be sold on him being their guy for the future, but they're certainly interested in saying, we think you can be. And I think the trade with New Orleans for Philadelphia was strictly about a just in case. Mm-hmm. Hey, just in case that Jalen Hurts isn't what we think he's going to be, which is the quarterback of our future, we then have two picks in the 2023 draft that'll be loaded with Bryce Young and Caleb Williams, that if we need to, we can go up and get a quarterback. But I think that the Eagles are banking on them making the proper evaluation. And I'll give Howie Roseman, their general manager, credit. I thought he was absolutely nuts drafting him and trading away Carson Wentz. He was right, and I was dead wrong on that.
Well, one thing we know about the Eagles is they will always make sure their bases are covered at that quarterback position, just in case. When we come back on Get Up, a season to forget for LeBron and the Lakers will almost certainly lead to an unforgettable offseason. What do they do now? We will talk about it when we come back.